Okay, take two.
You don't have to say
it. Oh, I have to. Hello. Hello. Welcome to the new NPR.
Yeah. What, Thought for Your Thoughts?
Thought for Your Thoughts.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you all here. I just want to keep this episode real down tempo.
It's not going to stay that way. Mm-mm. It's going to get real. It's going to get really hostile.
It's going to get real
hot. But, I mean, like, the fact that we started that way, like, I always thought it was super weird, like, how into NPR you were.
Yes, I'm very into NPR.
For, like, the last, like, almost 15 years.
Well, NPR has, like, two different phases. So it has...
I never understood
it. It has his great weekend, you know, humorous, things. Yeah. And then it has, like, news throughout the week.
But, like, is it like the news ASMR? Like, I don't fucking get it. Like, I never understood why you were into it.
It doesn't really put me to sleep. Like, okay, so...
It sounds boring.
Like I'm saying, okay, like, so NPR has two things. It's got the news, and then it's got really original, funny programming. So on the weekends, if you listen to NPR, it has, like, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is a really great show.
Okay.
And then Ask Me Another, which I actually went to a live taping of. At the Bell House in Brooklyn. It's hosted by... Ophira Eisenberg, and I have a huge crush on her.
Oh, she sounds odd.
Amazing crush.
Love to show me after her.
Yeah, Ophira Eisenberg. Yeah. And
she sounds classy.
I took my ex-girlfriend to a live taping.
Well, that's dumb.
Of Ask Me Another. And I was literally, like, drooling over her the whole time.
Oh, my God.
At the Bell House in Brooklyn. And she, my ex picked it up, like, immediately. She was why are we here? And I was like, oh, well, it's a great show, but, like,
okay, so
it's a quiz show where they have, like, really, you know, clever people on. It's there's community members that, like, show up and, like, you know, they solve trivia problems. And it's hosted by the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. So we'll segue from there, because I think, like, your girlfriend at the time probably felt this level.
Oh yeah, she could feel it.
Of anxiety that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So this is gonna be our new thing for now for this season of everyday things that give you, like, uncomfortable anxiety.
Okay, so that's our new start.
Yes.
Okay, so
this will be a little bit longer. We'll lead with it.
So last season we did moral conundrums.
Yes.
Or ethical dilemmas.
Yes.
And this season we're talking about what makes you feel anxious.
Yes. Like, it's something that, like, everyone goes through, but like, it's anxiety to the level of, like, almost fear.
Right.
Like, and so I to start it off, I had a it's an example that I go through all the time.
Okay.
And you'll know it because you've seen me go through it.
Okay.
Like, through the years. So okay, so think back to when we used to party a lot.
Okay.
We would go to, like houses we've never been to.
Like, house parties.
House parties.
Right.
Or, like, the parties that we used to throw at
the Holiday Inn.
He Who Will Not Be Named.
Yeah.
At the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. The Voldemort of our old friends.
Like, you know, and how many people would be there. And then, like, we'd be at another party. And the shit that would happen to me was I'd walk into a room and people were like, oh my God, it's Cody. Okay. Look who it is. And I'm just like, guy?
Yeah.
Like, the anxiety that I would feel of not knowing anyone's fucking name that I've met 5 dozen times, like, it still scares me to this day.
I know that so much because, like, there's actually, like, a girl I have a crush on currently.
Oh, God, okay.
That knows you very well.
Me?
Knows you very well.
What?
And you don't know her at all.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is news to me.
It's so rare.
Why have you not brought this up?
No, we've talked about it.
We didn't even plan this. Okay. How have you not brought this up?
No, but there's a girl I currently have a crush on, and we've been, like, talking, like, back and forth, and she knows you very well from your old days at Hot Topic.
Uh-huh.
And she brings you up, and I'm like, he's my best friend.
What?
And she's like, oh, we got along so well. And if I said her name, you'd be like, who?
Oh my God, the second we go on break, you have to.
Yeah.
I have no clue who you're
talking. No, it happens all the time with you.
All the fucking time. Anyone who knows me has a fucking memory of someone literally in line for fucking Olive Garden or something.
Right.
And someone's like, Cody. And I'm like, what's up, dude?
Because, like, when you walk into a place, like with your history, if you walked like proverbially, if you walked into a place, you'd be wearing like a crushed velvet smoking jacket, like fucking Lemmy Kilmister walking into the Rainbow Room.
Yeah,
like it would just be like, yeah. Oh, Cody's here, and he'd be like, "What's up? What's up?
It'd
what's
be
up?"
At that level,
but you would not know anybody.
I would be so lost.
Yeah,
I'd be the most confused person there because I'd be like, I don't know anything. People.
You have such a storied history without you ever living it.
I've never lived it. Yeah. I never lived the story that these people lived, but I'm in all of their stories.
But I think it's like a larger than life thing where people just come up with a history for you and you're like, oh yeah, Cody did this like crazy thing that one time. And you're like, I fucking never did that.
I mean, drugs?
drugs, alcohol, maybe.
Like, that's the thing, is, like, I've just blacked out too much.
Yeah.
Where I just don't remember, like...
That's another scary thing. What if you're your best when you're blacked out?
I have so many friends blacked out. Like, literally, like, in my normal life, I have, like, 3 friends.
Right.
My blackout me knows the entire county.
Oh, right.
And I have no clue what the fuck goes on.
Blackout Cody is the ambassador of Orange County.
Literally.
He's the interim mayor of Orange County, where nobody really knows what he does. He's kind of like, okay, you know the mayor of Hollywood?
Yeah.
Hollywood's not like a
thing. It's not a real city.
But like, there is a mayor of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's more of like
a guy who met at the bar who's the mayor of San Clemente. Mr. San Clemente.
Yeah, like... Where, like, his job is to shake hands and kiss babies.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any other, like, title or, like, well, any other responsibility.
But Blackout Cody is to, like, shake hands and maybe kiss your girlfriend.
Yeah, like, Blackout Cody will fucking make out with your girlfriend.
And then have no idea who you are
later. And then forget all about it. So you'll enter lives, ruin them, exit them, and not remember a thing.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. But, like, but current me, who doesn't black out anymore...
Right, Cody doesn't... Cody don't do that no more.
...is now dealing with all of the aftermath.
That's right.
Because to this day, I still have people... And this is, like, the fucking crux of working at the mall that I work at, is it's too close to home.
Right.
So people keep coming in, they're like, oh my God, like, I haven't seen you in so long. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
There's a million miles of destroyed relationships... that you have to now tread through.
Yeah.
And that's your life now, bud.
Yeah, it sucks. This took a different turn.
That was a fun one.
This sucks.
I mean, reality is hard sometimes.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, I like it. I think it's exciting.
Fuck.
I mean, I was with you most of those times.
You were with me a lot of them. But, and like, you never had to deal with
it. I never had to deal with it. No, I was a very...
Because then you would be with me, but then you'd fuck off to, like, the fucking deepest trench of North Orange County.
Right.
Where no one fucking knows you.
Right.
And then I'd be stuck where I live.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the difference between us. Is that you stay in your realm. And whenever I get the slightest hint of somebody knowing me, I get out of that realm. Yeah. I pick a new endeavor.
I stay too long.
I never stayed at a high school more than 2 years. I never stayed at a school more than 2 years.
No.
So my whole life has been escaping.
Yeah, I just fucked up South Orange County.
You're just, like, but you're still here.
I'm still here. Yeah. But now I'm in the furthest south.
I spent my whole life getting away from everything. And you're still here.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen.
That's depressing.
No.
I'm sad.
No, because you've built a, you know, you've built a kingdom you've built a kingdom on the heads of the people
I'm just Caligula'd myself to the top.
you tread on the heads of the relationships that you've ruined.
Yeah.
And now you're up here.
So, okay, well, now I feel really bad, because now Mark's going to listen to this and be like, what the fuck?
It's not as bad as it sounds. It's not.
It might be.
I think it's just, it's rising to the top of the bullshit rather than stewing in it.
That's true. That's
because
true.
If you kept in that life, you would just be around
those people. I got out.
Yeah.
I got out.
Because if you were sober, would you talk to him? No.
No, I don't now.
Yeah, like, so no.
Yeah.
So you leapfrog. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the other frogs keep coming back.
the what would that be called?
Like the toads.
A deep frog.
A deep frog. Okay, let's take that's
our, wait that's no our, no I gotta that's play our my anxiety.
Oh okay, we were doing both.
Just one quick one.
Go for it.
It's gonna be really fast.
Wait, but do you have like, well, we had to stay on that topic though. Do you have like, what's a recent story that you've gone through that where like someone sees you?
Oh no, not like that.
Oh, you want to?
I was just talking just anxiety.
Oh, go for it.
When I order something on a menu and they don't have it.
Okay. Dude, that's the story of my life right now with Taco Bell.
And they say, oh, we don't have that anymore. And then I panic like an animal.
Oh, your life just shattered.
And like, I was like, well, I couldn't think of anything more than that. And they were like, well, pick something else. And then I just say, you pick something for me. And then I hang up.
It's like you're in the drive-thru with Taco Bell. They're like, can I get a chalupa? Oh, we don't have those anymore. McNuggets? But dude, that's literally the story of my life right now with Taco Bell, because Taco Bell keeps getting rid of their fucking classic shit.
Right.
Like, they just ditched the fucking potato taco and the Mexican pizza.
Oh, yeah, the Mexican pizza.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, Taco Bell's literally,
they're
like,
fucking
killing
my world.
They're killing everything that made them Taco Bell.
Yeah, they're really fucking
They
up
need
my
to
shit.
Change their name.
Literally, when me and Brenda go to Taco Bell, one of her go-tos is a Mexican pizza.
Right.
One of mine is a potato taco. Our whole fucking order has changed.
They should change their name to, like, Nostalgia Bell.
Nostalgia Bell. Now, oh no, now it's aptly what you've called it for years. Now it's Taco Hell.
Taco Hell, yeah. If I ever have a daughter, I'm going to name her Nostalgia Bell.
That's mean.
Nostalgia Bell.
All right, we're going to take a break.
the idea of Mexican pizza.
Okay, call it a break. Okay. Jesus.
I love you, Mexican pizza. I love you too, Daddy.
No, you're not asking them.
Getting along like a house on fire is a saying.
That's not a saying.
They got along like a house on fire. It's a something on fire.
That's not a thing. No one gets along with fire.
They got along like a house
on fire. No, because a house doesn't get along with fire. It burns to the ground.
But that's how they get along so well. It burns so quickly.
No, that's not a thing.
They got along like
you're
a house
so
on
toxic.
Fire. I'm not toxic.
You're, like, making up toxic analogies.
That's not what toxicity is.
Yes, it is.
No, that's called being...
You're, like, looking along like a house on fire. Just burn everything to the ground.
I'm being toxic. I'm being inquisitive, you fucking
That's not inquisitive. You're literally just setting the world aflame.
Like, got along like a house on fire. I'm pretty sure that's a
saying. Okay, well, let's get into the fucking reason right, we're here. Right. Okay. Mark, fucking figure it out.
Right.
Okay, so, today... We are talking about Fritz Haber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is actually a very, very different one because this guy is not a bad guy. Mm. We're going to talk about what he did, which is awful.
Right.
But he... Well, actually, you might change my mind. Maybe he had bad intentions. I don't know. I don't think he had bad intentions. He seems like an okay person.
Yeah, I mean, it's different.
But he created
it's like,
awfulness.
It's like if you create something, are you in charge of... what it's used for.
Yeah, I think we have responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so Fritz Haber, born December 9th in Breslau, Prussia, which is now Poland. Mm-hmm. Well, the part that he was born in is now Poland. For anyone who's unfamiliar with what Prussia was literally, like, a large chunk of Eastern Europe
mm-hmm.
Pre-World War I. Which is what Germany was part of.
Right.
Prussia was the bigger as a whole.
Yeah. It's a David Bowie song. Under Prussia.
Under Prussia. Okay. Stupid. Okay. So, Jesus Christ. So, luckily for him, he was born, he did all this shit pre-World War I, not World War II, because he was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So, he would have gotten literally nowhere during World War II Germany.
Got it.
But, I mean, still though, like, so he prospered a lot more under the Kaisers versus the Nazis, but Jews were not really that popular then either, because like they just never catch a break.
Right.
Like, everyone always fucking gives them a hard time. But luckily at that time, under Prussia law, the Jewish people were considered citizens.
Okay.
So they were allowed to actually like do the same things as everyone else.
Cool.
So, yeah. I mean, that sounds like, yeah, we're like, normal. Cool, normal. Normal. Normal.
Not
like,
cool. Normal.
Normal.
Regular.
I saw it on your face and you were like, cool. Like, all fucking awkwardly.
Oh, you mean people can be people?
Yeah, yeah. These people can be people.
Dope. Good for you. Should be the way it is.
The weird thing was, Fritz and his family were way more about being German than being Jewish, though.
Well, they were Polish, though, right?
Yeah, but they assimilated into Germany, like, full fucking gung-ho.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, I don't really give a shit that I'm Jewish. Like, we're German.
Right, right.
And they were
right.
All about it. All about it. Which will make a lot of sense as why
this is like, we're talking about like early 1900s though.
Well, right now we're in late 1800s.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, when he was like born.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So, fun fact, his parents were first cousins. So he was a child of incest.
Okay. A blue blood.
A blue blood.
Yeah.
The super fun fact that I literally wrote this down and I could not stop laughing. So his, I should have phrased that differently. So his mom died during childbirth. That's not fun. But
but wait, is that okay? So that's just a fun fact, not a super fun fact?
That's a fact. Fun fact.
That's just a fact. What's a super
fun super fact? Super fun fact is his stepmom, his dad's second wife, was named Hedwig Hamburger.
That's fun.
That's fucking fun.
That's very fun.
And I loved that.
Hedwig Hamburger?
Hedwig Hamburger. So if anyone who likes Harry Potter out there, just imagine an owl shaped like a hamburger.
A Hedwig Hamburger.
Hedwig. Hedwig.
Hedwig.
Yeah, like Harry Potter's owl.
Okay.
Harry Potter's owl's name was Hedwig.
So it's like, it's a wig in between two buns.
I mean, I guess you would literally think it literally a wig.
A Hedwig.
Well, I know Hedwig as an owl, so I was like, an owl.
Is there any other wig aside from a head?
No, but you're...
Oh, a merkin.
There's it's H-E-D-W-I-G.
No, but like, there's a pube wig, and it's called a merkin.
Oh, yeah, a merkin, but that's fucking weird.
I mean, if
you... Now you made it weird.
Not really.
You did.
I'm just saying there's two wigs, one for your head and one for your pubes.
Yes. No one uses a merkin now.
I think they used to.
Well, yeah, they use it. That's why there's a name for it. Okay. So, Jesus. Let's see. I already went through that paragraph. So, like I said, his family was super about being German and not Jewish, so the assimilation worked out very, very well for them.
Great.
They were like, fuck it, don't even care. So, he went through school, like, primary school, did all that shit. His dad, I think, worked at like a textile company, which will come into play later.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his dad like did not get along, which is like a big thing of his childhood.
Classic German father-son relationship. 20th
century, like,
yeah.
So, he started his college education in chemistry. He finally convinced his father to let him go to college to be a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
And through a little bit of trial and error, he eventually started, he studied directly under Robert Bunsen.
The Bunsen burner.
Bunsen burner.
Yeah, yeah,
so
he
studied directly under him.
Okay.
Which was really cool. Eventually, like, well, fast forward, he graduates. Now he's, like, a bona fide chemist.
Mm-hmm.
To make his, like, Germanization even more official, he just converted to being a Lutheran and just said, fuck being Jewish altogether.
Is that a German faith, Lutheranism?
Well, it was Christian.
Oh, God.
Just being Christian.
It was just
another step of him getting rid of being Jewish.
Got it.
So now he's only Jewish by heritage.
Got it.
Not faith. So he does that. During all this, he goes back and like whenever he's done with school, he goes back to his father's company to work with him, but they just never get along.
Yeah, like, probably begrudgingly. But, like, gotta work with my dad.
From what I read, like, it sounds like he wants to, but like his dad just like never wants to fucking deal with him or like listen to like what he's learned, which is super weird because like he's a chemist and he's fucking smart, but like they just never get along, like ever. But he's a really good relationship with Hedwig Hamburger. And it's fucking...
I mean, it's hard. It's so good. It's hard to keep a straight face.
He gets along with her very well, and his half-sisters that they later have. Okay. He gets along with them super great, but, like, not his dad.
Well, he's a thinker.
Yeah, I guess he's just... Maybe his dad was, like, mad that he was smarter.
Well, maybe he was just, like, one of the classic cases of, like, a boy that wants to escape his hometown, and his dad was like, no, we do textiles around here. And you're like, your head's in the clouds kind of thing. But his head was actually in the books.
Yeah, but he always came back, which was weird.
Well, like,
he
was like, kids do that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. So basically, here's the weird thing, though. It's like, so I might be wrong. Maybe his dad wasn't like a textile worker, but I thought this was like ironic. Mark can correct me, like, on what his dad actually did. Mm-hmm. But I thought this part was like ironic because through his education, Fritz Haber actually like, did a lot of, like, he revolutionized the dye and textile industry.
Okay.
Through chemistry. Like, he used what he learned.
He married the, he coupled the two.
He used what he learned and, like, literally fucking changed the game, like, yeah, on the textile industry.
So it's, like, fucking 1901 and he was making tie-dye shirts.
Literally. He literally, like, fucking made tie-dye. And his dad's like, oh, holy plaid.
Too
like,
many colors. Like,
black, red, that's it. And he's like, but dad, what about blue?
No, dad, you don't get it. In like 100 years, Grateful Dead's going to come around. It's going to make so much sense.
You got to learn the swirl. Like,
so. Dad, I was in my lab and I made LSD.
Literally, on a shirt. And his dad's like, what the fuck is a shirt? Like,
yeah, what's a t-shirt?
Yeah, really weird. Long johns, motherfucker. So I thought that was weird. Like, I was like, if his dad's like in that industry and this guy's like changing the game, like, and yeah, anyway. So he also, what did he do here? I had to like write like a subnote here because I was like, I don't even know what I wrote. He also, literally created the standard for electromagnetic reduction. Like his process on that became the standard, and electromagnetic reduction is basically the breaking down of carbon dioxide to more reduced chemical species using electricity. So he basically revolutionized breaking down carbon with electricity.
I don't even know where to start with that.
I know. That's why I was like, wait, I don't know what I wrote. Because it's he was an electrochemist. Like, that was his main thing.
Okay.
Like, he became really into electrochemistry.
Is that kind of like a power con...
Basically using... Like, he was using...
Power comp? Conservation?
Something like that. Like, there was the standard chemistry, but then he was taking it up to another level by using electricity to basically also, like, stimulize those components to do different things. So, like, no one had ever tried.
Oh, I'm so fucking lost right now.
So no one had ever tried before using electricity, like, to stimulate carbon dioxide to do something different. Like, they tried using it by chemical mixtures. He introduced electricity, which made carbon dioxide break down in a different way. And that was fucking groundbreaking. Which is going to come into play with what he did later.
Yeah.
We're not chemists.
Yeah.
I think I've said that like 17 he's times using, on this podcast. I'm not a fucking chemist. He's using
electricity to break down a gas?
He's using electricity to change chemistry altogether.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Exactly. Like, it's not just mixing things now. He's introducing energy to stimulate it in a different way.
He's like an Isaac Newton.
He didn't invent this. Like, he studied this, but he used it in a way that, like, on things that hadn't been done before.
Got it.
So he was changing the game on certain things.
Got it.
It's not like he invented electrochemistry, but he was fucking groundbreaking in it. Mm-hmm. So he's already fucking famous for that. What he's most notable for is the Haber-Bosch process.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're familiar with that at all. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have. Okay.
So the Haber-Bosch process, it's very, very, very popular in agriculture. In layman's term, it's the process of creating ammonia is really what it is, which is essential for fertilizer, but ammonia doesn't occur in abundance naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So at this state in history, it was like we were reaching an agricultural,
decline.
Not decline, but like...
No, but it's true, though.
We were almost like a pandemic for agriculture.
Right.
We didn't have the means to grow enough food for the population. So he literally...
This was a precursor to the Dust Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he basically created a way to create ammonia, which was... ammonia was needed to create fertile soil fertilizer to grow the food necessary, which obviously has adverse effects because now you're doing something unnaturally. And like a lot of people, like this was actually a potential subject that we had for an episode at some point was the modernization of agriculture and the impacts that it's made on the planet, because it fucking destroys certain like ecological systems because this isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah. You're supposed to use Brondo.
Yeah. Which is like what's...
Because it's what...
Oh, Brondo the energy drink?
It's what plants crave.
Yes. It's raw berry. Yeah. And another side effect that this had, it also pretty much crippled the economy of Chile, his Haber-Bosch process. So before this process to create ammonia, they used sodium nitrate to help make the soil fertile.
Okay.
And one of the biggest sources of sodium nitrate was Chile. So when Fritz created the Haber-Bosch process, it made Chile's economy crumble. So he literally crumbled the economy of an entire country with this, which is also in itself evil. Like, not his intent, but a byproduct.
I love Chile, by the way. It's because, like, when that country was established in South America, it basically denied the rest of the continent the beach.
It did. It ate the whole fucking coast.
Like, it was like, hey, can we have this land? It's like, yeah, sure. But like, what about the beach? No, that's our beach.
No. Because all it is a beach.
We get beach.
We are beach.
Yeah.
That's funny. I actually never thought about that. Yeah. It's literally just a beach.
It's like, the entire sliver is just a beach.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, and they were full of salt.
Okay.
So basically, like, to put this in terms, they went from... employing, I think it was like something like 60 million people in Chile with jobs for sodium nitrate, down to about 80,000.
Oh my gosh.
Or 800,000. Less than a million.
Okay.
Like, after their process came out. It crippled their economy. Which, I mean, I get, like, what he was doing, but, like, we have to admit that that's bad. Like, it's just bad. Oh, but because of it, after World War One, he got the Nobel Prize for that. So, he got the Nobel Prize for creating a whole new system for agriculture. No one gave a shit about Chile, but he got a Nobel Prize for it. Which we always always have to acknowledge the fact that the Nobel Prize is named after a guy who created dynamite, which is just not good. What you're going to get into is basically his what he's secondly known for, which is the moniker that he gets as the father of chemical warfare.
Chlorine gas.
Chlorine gas. Because of his, not, like, his Haber-Bosch process was a segue into what he did during World War One for the Kaiser.
The Kaiser, which is the ruler of Germany.
Yeah, well, which was
the
supreme ruler of Prussia at the time.
Well, Kaiser is just a name for a ruler of
Germany, and so, right? During that time,
it's not a person. It's just a non.
It's a person. It was Kaiser Wilhelm. It's like calling him the Tsar or the King. He was Kaiser.
I thought Kaiser was a title.
It is a title. It's like King.
Oh, okay.
So Kaiser Wilhelm.
Oh, Kaiser Wilhelm's the name, but Kaiser's a title.
Wilhelm. Yeah, Friedrich Wilhelm was the person.
Right. Right.
Kaiser was his name. Kaiser was the title given to the person who was the so in Prussia, all of those kingdoms like Hungary, Germany, Poland, they had kings, like nobles. When they became Kaiser, meant they were in charge of all of Prussia.
Yeah.
So Wilhelm was the Kaiser
Got it.
Of Prussia, but also the last Kaiser. World War One ended that thing and ended Prussia. But what Fritz did during that is what you're going to cover and talk about. So,
well, let's talk to it.
Let's talk to it.
Let's talk to it. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk at it.
Let's talk at it.
At it. At it.
Hey, you.
We have to degrade it.
Yeah, yeah, you dirty dog.
You dirty gas.
you stinky gas. You. Okay, bye.
Hey, guys. This is Cody and
CJ
from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli, who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And, you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
Later.
Like later. Not like right now, but like later.
Later. So now.
No, not like right now. Not but right like, now, right now. But like right later.
Later.
Okay. So, okay, we're back. Right now.
Right now. Oh, I was hoping later.
No, not like later. Like right now.
Okay, well, welcome to CJ's part.
Okay, give me the gas.
Hello. My name Fritz Haber.
Of course you did that.
My name is Fritz Haber. I was born in 1968, Poland.
What are you doing?
Voice.
Are you Russian?
German voice. Is that Russian?
You sound more Russian.
Hello. No, that is Russian. My name Fritz Haber. That's more Borat.
Just yell.
How do you do...
Hey, my name Fritz Haber.
Yeah, that's right.
My name Fritz Haber.
Yeah.
I'm here because 1868 Poland I was born.
That's still Russian. I can't do
it's
it.
It's still very Boris.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're not good at accents.
I can't do accents. I really want to do characters, but I can't.
Hey, I appreciate your passion.
Yeah, man. I want to. Okay, so I was born in 1868 Poland.
You were born?
Why am I speaking third person?
You were born in...
Fritz Haber was born in 1868 Poland.
Okay.
And here's an important part to remember about Fritz Haber.
Okay. All right,
so during 1868 Poland, this was after the last and most pivotal Polish uprising, and it was against the Russian occupation.
Okay.
So while he was born, it was while the Polish were finding their own freedom.
Yeah. Okay. Before they were like part of Prussia, they were separating.
Exactly. They were starting to evacuate.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So in direct defiance of Marxism, which was still the socialist view at that point.
Yes.
Well, I mean, communist, but socialism, depending on where you lived.
Yes.
But communism based on the governmental properties.
Okay.
So Poland liberated themselves as either serfs or private citizens at this point. And they destroyed basically the Congress of Poland, which was instituted by Russia. And they claimed their own Polish lands. So they all had their different factions in different parts of Poland in defiance of, you know, communist Russia.
Okay.
And this was in 1864, basically. So 4 years before Fritz was born.
Okay.
So they claimed their own Polish lands. All Polish citizens were then assimilated without Russian dictatorial rule. So he was born in a time of uprising.
Okay.
And I think that's just a cool fact about that time of history.
Probably why his family like assimilated to Germany.
So quickly. Yeah.
They were getting away from Russia.
Right.
And
so it wasn't a fact of they wanted to be German. It was a fact that they wanted to get out of Russian rule or Russian tyranny at that point. So he was born 4 years after that. And also almost he exactly looks like my dad.
Yes.
Almost to it's scary. Okay, so if I look in picture books, what are those called? Photo albums?
Yes,
picture books. Photo albums?
Yeah.
He looks exactly like my dad when he was my age, when he was a little portly. He had a mustache. He wore big, thick rimmed glasses.
The guy's still a little portly.
Well, I mean, he's getting there.
He's skinny everywhere but the tum-tum.
His legs are so skinny.
His legs are fucking, like, Kenyan like, size. Scary, like
Usain Bolt. Legs of Kenyans. He has Usain Bolt's legs on Pol Pot's body.
Yes. I'm so sorry, Mr. C. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, Dad. But you
look, I love you too, Dad.
You look exactly like Fritz Haber.
Which, also, fun fact, for anyone who's not like a World War One expert, but during World War One, the three leading bodies of power that were involved, minus America, you've got Britain, Germany, and Russia, all of those leaders, so you've got King George, Kaiser Wilhelm, and Tsar Nicholas, first cousins.
Yes.
So it was a war of cousins.
Oh, yeah, a cousin war.
Yeah, first of all, they all shared a grandmother, which was Queen Victoria.
A cousin coup.
A cousin coup. But their shared grandmother was Queen Victoria of England.
All right, so let's... Oh, that is really interesting.
Super interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to cut to 1914.
Okay.
All right, so this is the manifesto of the 93. So the 93
Yes, were, I saw a little bit of this.
Okay, so Fritz Haber was accompanied by 92 other German scientists.
Okay.
And they were all conspiring to create chemicals to support the victory during World War One.
Okay.
So all German, all scientists, 93 of them, trying to create chemical warfare to win the effort in World War One.
Okay, which had never been done before. There was no chemical warfare.
No chemical
warfare. Other than, like, what we've talked about with, like, Attila, like... Oh, no, Nanjing was way later.
Oh, that was way later. That was the 40s, yeah.
We're talking, like, Attila and Genghis Khan, like, throwing plague bodies over the fucking
walls.
That was chemical warfare. Yeah,
but, like, little balls of smallpox over the wall. Yeah.
But these guys are literally, like, creating, like, plague in a can.
So shortly thereafter, the creation of the 93 was established.
Okay.
Fritz was nominated the head of chemistry of the section of the military defensive war. Okay. So he was kind of the head chemist of the German 93.
Okay.
So whilst at the helm of the 93, he specialized in the development of using chlorine.
Whilst at the helm? Wilhelm?
Okay.
Whilst helm at the helm?
Yeah, whatever you want, buddy. Yeah, no, have fun with it. Okay. Right.
Wilhelm.
Whilst at the Wilhelm. He specialized in the development of using chlorine gas to be used in specifically trench warfare.
Yes.
Okay. So chlorine gas is
Which is already bad enough. Fuck.
Well, it's so gas takes up the space of whatever volume it's in.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So gas just expands exponentially and just takes up the space until
it dissipates.
Yeah. But at this point, chlorine gas was called Berthollite.
Oh.
And it smelled to the people that were being attacked by it. It smelled like pepper and pineapple.
Oh. Okay.
Which I would be down with.
I'd be stoked until I started dying.
Yeah, but it would be like a spicy Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah.
Which, like, imagine, like, a Hawaiian pizza with pepper flakes on it. Like, get out of town.
That sounds so good.
That's, like, my kryptonite, dude.
Like, sweet and savory.
Sweet and savory. Yeah. Well, I put, like, Tabasco on pizza sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, like my wife.
Yeah. Oh, what? No, Tabasco's great.
Yeah.
I saw this thing.
Sometimes you guys agree on that shit. Well, I don't agree on that.
But, okay, just sidebar. Christmas is coming up, and there's a gun holster for Tabasco.
Is that what you want?
Yeah. You could have, like, it's like a cool belt that you wear, but it's got, like, a holster for Tabasco, a bottle of Tabasco.
Okay.
Just throwing that in there.
Okay.
So it smelled like pepper and pineapple, and it attacked specifically the skin, eyes, and airways.
Ooh.
Okay, so you know what a parts per million means?
Yes.
So it's usually used in, like, holistic medicine, where if you put, like, a drop of something, like an essential oil in a bathtub, it's one part per million.
Per million, yeah.
And that's supposed to be an effective source of, you know, healing.
Yeah.
So at 30 parts per million, which, like, let's just say at this point, just to visualize it, it's 30 drops of a vial in a bathtub.
Okay.
So 30 drops of a vial of chlorine gas in a bathtub just gets you to vomit yourself crazy.
Okay, so nothing deadly.
So nothing deadly. Okay. You just, like, you barf your your brains out. It's
still awful.
Still awful. At 60 droplets in a bathtub, you get lung damage.
Oh, okay.
So what the chlorine gas that they were using in World War One, and which Fritz Haber, you know, incited, was 1,000 parts per million.
Holy shit.
So 1,000 droplets of a vial.
We were 60?
To 1,000.
To 1,000.
And that's the chemical compound that he used to figure out how to kill people quickly and kill people undetectably. So it'd still smell like pepper and pineapple, but it would still kill you on the fucking dot.
Holy shit.
So 1,000 parts per million, it would literally kill you after two deep breaths.
Oh my God.
So you take one inhale, two inhale, dead.
So you're like one inhale pineapple, one inhale pepper, dead.
So let's say we're still using the bathtub analogy. Instead of using droplets, you just poured a vial in it. And I'm not talking about like a, you know, a
cup. This is a bath bomb of death.
A bath bomb of death, yes. So you pour one vial in a bathtub, take two deep breaths, and you're fucking dead.
Sorry, I had to drink. That's insane. I think the jump that is like killing me right now. Killing.
Is that funny?
Sorry.
Is that hilarious to you, Cody?
Sorry. You went from 60 to 1,000. So like, was he like, did he work his way up there? Was he exactly. Like, oh, 900? No.
Because there were test subjects. Fuck. And the test subjects they used were usually livestock. So he usually tested it because, like we said, gas inherits the volume of its base. So it would be either a vial droplet. Oh, okay. This makes them vomit. A couple vial droplets, it makes them, you know, have, you know, lung infections and start coughing.
Yeah, but it was like 1,000 done on like a cow? We're not cows.
But here's the sick part is like, you know, what if we just poured the whole fucking tincture in? We just dumped the tincture into that's the bathtub. That's 1,000.
That's 1,000.
Yeah.
So what it sounds like, they went so far, they're like, okay, nothing's killing, just fucking dump it in.
Just dump it in.
And they're like, all right, death.
I think that's what a lot of people use when they get frustrated.
That's not chemistry, though.
It's not chemistry.
It's
just like, there's got to be another word for just dump it in.
Yeah, just dump it in.
Yeah, just dump it
in. Because I feel like that's what he went to. He was like, okay, like we're at like 700. It's still not killing.
Yeah.
Just fucking put it in.
Just dump it in.
Yeah.
Oh, that does it.
That does it. Oh, now they're dead.
Now they're dead.
Yeah. What do we pour? 1,000? Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah.
So I'm just going to take my scientific journal out here. One dump.
One dump.
One dump is what it takes.
Death by dump.
Death by dump. Yeah. Dump to death, bro.
Fucking. It's just like. It takes the method it's out crazy. Of it. Like.
So basically, this was all employed at the Second Battle of Ypres.
And I saw that.
It was 1915. So Haber was on the front lines, basically. So at this point, before Haber started using the chlorine gas, he also beforehand invented gas masks.
Yes, I saw that.
So he invented gas masks.
To protect Germans.
To protect the Germans.
Yes.
So he was watching from the front lines. As the, you know, the front lines.
The front lines as in the front lines. Well,
okay, so he was on the German side watching the soldiers.
Yes. He wanted to see firsthand.
Dump chlorine gas into the trenches.
Yes.
But at this point, they were all using
his gas mask
that he invented.
But, like, what I thought, though, was that the gas, like, well, maybe his, but... Standard gas masks didn't protect from chlorine gas, though.
Well, he used a filtration system that pumped it out the back.
Oh.
So it wasn't like a gas mask that you would see in, like, Chernobyl or
World War II. On the front. Like,
it was something that just went through instead of... It went around your mouth instead of ventilating your mouth and just filtered it around the back.
Weird. Okay.
Very weird. Very weird, but you still had that layer of protection.
I feel like you would need like a mechanical pump to do that.
Actually, you know what's really incredible about that? It was more of a snorkel than it was a gas mask.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that really kind of cool?
That's really weird. Yeah. Super cool though.
So basically watched in the Battle of Ypres. It worked very well.
So the Germans were fine.
But Germans were fine, and the Belgians were literally there was the Belgians at this point.
Yeah.
In the Battle of Ypres, and the Belgians, he watched them choke and vomit to death just after inventing something to protect themselves on the front lines. Because we're talking about a parts per million point of view, even if something a little bit came in, I'm sure they vomited, I'm sure they coughed.
Okay, see, and that's where we get to the turning point, because, like, when I was talking in my subject about how, like, hey, it's not like he's not like a bad guy, like, what he did was bad, but then he went and stood on the front lines.
He watched
and it. And watched it happen.
Yeah.
That's where this guy becomes a fucking asshole.
He tested his hypothesis.
Yes.
On the front lines of war.
Personally.
And saw it. And it always brings me back to
that's fucked up,
you know.
I'm gonna crack it.
Yeah. Wait, you got it? Yeah. That sounds good. Ooh, that's gonna pick up on the recording.
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, I was moving my cup to here now for a can.
It always brings me back to, like, you know, the I have become Death's Destroyer worlds, like Robert.
Yes, you love.
Well, it's Oppenheimer. It's Oppenheimer.
You love, but. To bring in the Oppenheimer. Like, not, like, I'm not saying you love it, like, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You bring it in at very good times.
Yeah.
And, but, like, because it's such a fitting statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And this, for after this guy, is true.
It is true. And he's not sorrowful about it.
No.
He's proud of his efforts.
Yeah. Like I said before, he was all about being German.
Right.
Not Jewish.
So, there was, after this, after the Battle of Ypres, it was a pioneer regiment, the 35th and the 36th, and it was a special gas warfare troops that were to combat the French.
Okay.
And these, it was in 1915, like shortly after the Battle of Ypres in 1915. At this point, in other terms, it was basically, who's your best chemist, the German chemist or the French chemist?
Okay.
So the best German chemist at this point was Fritz.
Yeah.
And the best French chemist was Victor Gribord. So it's like, who do we have? We have the Germans and we have Les French.
Les French or the Germans, yeah.
So they were both chemical experts on either side of the war. Okay. And they were attacking each other with the same chemical compounds of chlorine gas.
Oh, so Le French man.
Le French.
Figured it out too?
Le French Victor.
Victor.
And the German Fritz were fighting each other with the same chemical compounds.
Okay, so at the same time, everything we've been talking about, Victor on the French side also figured it out.
He also
not figured from it. Not from like trial, like seeing it, but like also did it.
No, but from learning the same transcripts that Fritz had.
Okay,
or not transcripts. Sorry, what would you say? A manifesto or something like that.
So he figured out what they were doing, and he started pulling it back.
So the French and the Germans were using the same chlorine gas tactics against each other. And it was who could use them the fastest. And that's what inspired the gas battle of World War II. Because it said, World War I, sorry.
Yeah.
World War I is not only a land battle, but it was a gas battle.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Question. Sorry, I feel like I'm interjecting a lot.
Did you raise your hand?
I did. I
really appreciate that.
Actually, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is chlorine gas what we usually interpret as mustard gas?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know. Maybe.
Because I thought gas was the big thing in World War I.
Is it the same thing?
I don't know.
Mark.
Figure it out. Because, literally the second you were saying what it smelled like, I thought you were going to say mustard. And I was like, oh, okay, it's mustard gas. But then you said pineapple, and I was like, oh, shit, what is mustard gas?
Yeah.
But, like, mustard gas, I know, in my mind, I know it was a World War I thing, because after World War I, we got rid of chemical warfare.
Right.
So, Mark, just tell us.
Yeah, get in, because I didn't do that part.
Okay.
And that might feel a little...
Well, we just set Mark's segment.
Okay, here we go. At this point, both Victor and Fritz were very conflicted on their efforts in the war. It was actually said that what they wanted was stated as Fritz could say it best. So Fritz said, during peace, a scientist becomes... Fuck me.
It's okay. What's up?
Fritz said, during peace, a scientist belongs to the world. During war, a scientist belongs to their country.
Ooh.
Oof. That's got to sum it up Oof. In a pretty big way, right?
That's tough.
All right. So where they get it wrong is by declaring war as, like, war is war and war is death. And this is where Fritz is immediately at his downfall in this story, because yeah. Fritz is actually a bad guy because he compares gas to bullets.
No.
Very different. Very but different. He actually is stated saying that bullets and gas are of the same outcome.
No.
And if
no.
If one can kill, one wants to kill. And if one will find a way, they will kill.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Like, oh my God.
Right?
Wolf. Is that all you have?
That's it?
Jesus.
Baby okay. done. Baby done.
Okay. So one, a scientist should always be for the world.
Right.
War should not have a factor. You don't literally change your fucking perspective because of wartime. Mm-hmm. You should be doing science for the world.
Right.
So fuck you, Fritz.
So science is supposed to have a morality background, correct?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You're telling me the second we go into war, Bill Nye's going to start fucking killing us all? No.
Yeah.
No, he's not. No, Neil Tyson is going to start fucking killing people.
Right.
The second we go into war. Scientists are supposed to be the objective.
They're supposed to be of the same ilk as a locksmith.
Yes.
Where a locksmith knows how to break locks, but he won't do it for a... Or he or she won't do it for a bad reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, scientists are supposed to fucking progress for the sake of everyone else. Mm-hmm. So Fritz, wrong.
Right.
Bullets and gas, not the same.
Two totally different things.
Totally different things. It takes a marksman mm-hmm. for a bullet to kill. It takes a person to aim it right for a bullet to kill. Your gas can kill hundreds instantly. That's not the same.
He rationalized his actions with the fact that death is death and war is war.
He was too into the German indoctrination.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. He was indoctrinated by the German war effort.
Mm-hmm. He was 100% like behind the Kaiser.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, in a time where, like, especially towards the end of the war, when the rest of Germany
mm-hmm.
and the rest of Prussia knew that the Kaiser was fucking wrong, Fritz was like 100% like, well, death is death, and German's German,
yeah.
and war is war. It's like, no, dude, like, you can't just justify killing hundreds with a gas grenade mm-hmm. to that guy who just shot one guy. That's not the same.
There's got to be, I think there's always kind of been this unwritten rule to war where there's, like, respect in war. Like, where, yes, you'll take blood, you'll take lives.
Yeah.
But there is ultimately a moral compass of war where you can't cheat.
It's etiquette of war.
Etiquette of war. Yeah.
I think a really
I think gas is cheating.
Well, okay, hold on. Two examples.
What's that called? It's like using a fucking cheat code on a video game. It's
100%.
Like, yeah.
Because you can shoot one guy right there,
yeah.
but if you throw a fucking gas grenade, yeah. it fucking spreads
it's left and right. It's like turning anti-gravity on in Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
It's like it's crazy.
So, I think two really good examples are, one is real life, one's fictional.
Right.
Real life, obviously, because of this war, chemical warfare was banned.
Right.
During the Treaty of Versailles,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm pretty sure was after World War One. Am I wrong?
That was in French,
Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah, it was French, yeah.
So, after World War One, chemical warfare was banned.
Mm-hmm.
And we civilized nations don't mm-hmm. conduct in it. Second, fictional, is a really good example, which I love, is the movie Patriot.
With Mel Gibson. Yeah.
In that movie, what the antagonist, which is, what's his fucking name? I can't remember his fucking name. He plays Lucius Malfoy in Harry Potter. Great fucking actor.
The blonde kid?
No, his father.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Great fucking actor. He's the antagonist. Mm-hmm. He's the one who kills Heath Ledger in The Patriot. He is the great example because the British mm-hmm. in The Patriot will not divert from their conduct of war. Mm-hmm. They're like, you fight a straight line. These are the rules that we do. Mm-hmm. You do not take prisoners. Well, or you do take prisoners with, like, honor and like blah, blah, blah. And you don't kill civilians. Mm-hmm. And he is the one who is like, well, I can win this war for you if I break the rules.
Can I say this? Is war not inherently barbaric, though?
War is supposed to be barbaric.
But why are we saying that something so barbaric can be civilized?
That's what... Okay, that's low-key my point, though. Like, war is not supposed to be civilized. The fact that all these people think that there's a code to war, which is, like, actually, as I'm saying this, is, like, justifying what Fritz did.
Right. That's the conflicting part, though, right?
Is by any means necessary, you win.
Yeah.
It's a barbaric thing. It's war.
It's killing somebody. So it's like... It's murder. Like,
is what he did really wrong?
Yes. Well, everybody... It's wrong. Yes, no, morally. But here's the point. Here's the titular point. What everybody's doing is wrong.
It's war. It's all wrong.
It's
all wrong.
Because there's no discourse.
Especially, like, if you think of World War One, it was just a war for land.
So, like, he's the worst of the worst when we're talking about
worst people. So, in a war just for land, you took it to a different level and decided just to kill people in a mass amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking wrong.
It's all barbarism. It's we are the Romans all over again.
Yeah.
What's that fucking song by Botch? Like, one of the best fucking math rock bands in the entire world, Botch. We are the Romans.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, you're, like, whatever example you want to fucking put, there's no good reason for war. Because at the very basis, war is usually for land.
Mm-hmm.
Or for religion.
Money.
Or for money.
Yeah.
All wrong.
All wrong.
All wrong. And whatever comes of it is just more wrong. So... Doesn't matter what example I had.
You want to take a walk or something?
Like, yeah, let's take a fucking... Let's just end it.
You want to take a walk?
Let's take all of, like, the weird shit we feel.
Okay.
And just dump it on Mark.
So, Mark, I'm so confused.
Mark, please make sense of this. Answer the questions that we dumped on you earlier. I don't even wrote them now. But for everyone else, we're Justice Time Machine.
We'll be right back. Do you not have a...
I don't have a third part.
Oh, we're done now?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. I thought you had a third part.
No, I don't have one for this guy.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have one. Right. So we're justicetimemachine@gmail.com. All
right. Justicetimemachine on Instagram?
Yeah. We will get back to doing, like, the three parts that we usually do, but I don't have one for this.
You don't have a third part?
I'm sorry. I thought I told you that.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Okay. Right. And now we're gonna shoot it off to Mark, and Mark's gonna wrap us up, and
keep following us on whatever, format you choose to follow us on.
If you're on Apple iTunes, please.
Apple Podcast, bud.
Or
you said Apple iTunes.
Oh, I did, huh?
Yeah.
Apple Podcast, please.
Hey, sorry to come down on you so hard.
No, it's fine. Thank you for the correction, because you have an Android like a weirdo. So, please leave reviews and likes. Please, please.
Oh, send us suggestions.
Yes.
We love you so much.
Yeah. We're back.
Yeah, we are back.
We're back.
We're back.
I know we already did one, but we're back.
Well, we're back in a different way this time.
We're back. We caught our groove.
We're vibing.
We're back.
We're vibing.
All right. Love you guys.
I love you too. I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's, like, absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give him your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle. Give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny. And we'll see you next time.
Curiouser and curiouser. The great philosopher Augustine, prior to converting to Christianity, belonged to the Manichaean religion, a pagan cult that depicted the world as a battleground between the perfectly good creator and the perfectly evil destroyer. This metaphysical view of reality that there cannot be good without evil, and that everything must coexist in a sort of balance, is surely a reflection of our own internal conflicting notions as humans, is it not? Therefore I ask you, did Fritz Haber do enough good to be considered a hero, or enough evil to be classified a villain? Submitted for your approval. Fritz Haber willingly joined the German war effort. He was a stolt patriot and was eager to do right by his fatherland. Over the course of the First World War, the various poison gases that Haber created brought millions of soldiers to gruesome ends. It also eventually led to the creation of Zyklon B, the compound used in Nazi concentration camps to murder mostly Jewish prisoners in gas chambers. Haber at no point appeared fazed by the moral dilemma the opposing uses of his scientific discoveries presented, and as we heard in this week's episode, he even went as far as visiting the front lines to personally oversee the use of his weapons. However, his own life was one touched by tragedy. During childbirth, his mother Paula died from complications, which led to a well-documented, strained relationship between Haber and his father. Haber's first wife, Clara Immerwahr, a fellow Jew and scientist and one of the first women in Germany to receive a PhD, committed suicide in 1915 following continued arguments with her husband about his involvement in the gas warfare program. After Germany lost the war, Haber tasked himself once again with applying his brilliant scientific mind to support the country he loved. Between 1920 and 1926, he experimented with the recovery of gold from seawater in order to aid Germany with paying her war reparations. The resulting failure to do so led Haber into a depressed state, blaming himself and his own shortcomings. When the Nazis came to power and destroyed all of the progression that Jews had made over the previous century, Haber felt firsthand the cruel shift that his beloved country took. Imagine dedicating your life's work to a cause that, in the blink of an instant, planned to utilize your discoveries, your ingenuity, to commit genocide, to eradicate the fellow members of your community and religion. He was no longer creating poisonous gases to kill the enemy. And these poisonous gases were then being used to kill his own. Despite being granted a work exemption by the Nazis due to his previous contribution to Germany's war efforts, Haber saw the majority of his mostly Jewish staff at the Institute being forced to quit and joined in solidarity. The Haber-Bosch process of synthesizing and manufacturing ammonia from nitrogen and hydrogen was likely the most important technological innovation of the 20th century. To this day, it sustains a food base for the equivalent of half the world's population. It's unclear whether Fritz Haber saved more lives than he ended. His godson, historian Fritz Stern, fittingly and rather hauntingly once wrote, "He left a rich legacy, the darker sides of which our darker age can better ponder. It was for this reason that we felt justice must be served." Okay, I really wanted to just dive into it this week, as you can probably tell. Partly because I really enjoyed going back and forth on whether I thought Fritz was a true son of a bitch or not. It wasn't the first, and it certainly wasn't the last time in history that a scientific breakthrough was utilized for both the betterment and destruction of mankind. However, what I was most torn on initially was Fritz's own engagement, I suppose, in the overall process, and it turns out he was totally fine with it. So, to clear a few outstanding things up before we move on to next week. To get on like a house on fire means that two people like one another very much and become friends quickly. Fritz's father owned a chemical business. He was an importer of natural dyes and pigments. Kaiser is the German word for emperor, and there were three of the Second German Empire: William I, Wilhelm II, and Frederick III. And finally, there is a significant difference between chlorine and mustard gas. Fritz Haber had a hand in creating both, but essentially chlorine gas at a high enough dose kills by asphyxiation. Whereas mustard gas, despite causing the highest number of casualties by a chemical weapon, had very few direct deaths, as its effects are not immediate and the open air of the battlefield kept concentrations low. All right. Thank you as always for listening. Until next time, take care of one another and be safe.